Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Journey with Suratul Hajj. Alhamdulillah, we've taken a lot of journey steps in this nice episode, alhamdulillah. And the last episode, Sheikh, we were talking about the sky being like a canopy, or the
sky being iman.
Sky being iman, and then how someone is as if they're falling down from it. And then I believe we ended it with bringing your sacrifice.
Yeah, we ended those verses by Allah correcting the view that the pagans had about how about they couldn't use the sacrificial animals.
So we can take the benefits.
And we can benefit. You see how someone who doesn't know how to worship Allah makes things more difficult upon themselves.
Okay, because the boundaries are not set.
Because they make up boundaries which actually intensify the hardship on them. Whereas Allah actually makes things easy for you. He says, yeah, there's boundaries, but yeah, benefit from these animals. Yeah, they are sacred because they're going to be slaughtered. They
were but there is no issue on you to there's take
no
benefit
issue.
From this.
Ride them, take benefit from their milk, take benefit from their wool and their hair. Do what you need to do. On the day of the sacrifice, you're going to sacrifice them. Okay, so worshipping Allah the way He wants you to worship Him makes your life easy. Worshipping Allah in a way that you come up with yourself, that is going to make life difficult with you, for you and on you and on everyone.
Or take you some other direction,
completely misguide you away from Allah.
SubhanAllah.
So then after that, let's look at verses 34 and 35. So Allah says in these verses,
وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا لِيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ فَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَلَهُ أَسْلِمُوا وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ وَالْمُقِيمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ
And for all religion, we have appointed a rite of sacrifice that they may mention the name of Allah over what He has provided for them of sacrificial animals. For your God is one God, and to Him submit. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give good tidings to the humble before their Lord. Who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts are fearful, and to the patient over what has afflicted them, and the establishers of prayer, and those who spend from what we have provided them.
Alhamdulillah, these verses establish more fundamentals for the whole of our life, not only for the Hajj. Okay, so I've said this so many times. What you should appreciate from this is that, like we said right at the beginning when we started this series, the surah establishes fundamentals for the whole of your life, the whole of the religion. It's a journey which is basically summarizing for you how to live Islam. And it keeps happening. And this is what you get and what you're meant to get out of the journey of a lifetime, the Hajj itself. So here the first thing Allah says is that, this slaughtering and sacrificing, this is something we ordained for every single nation before you. It's something that's been consistent throughout human history. Allah appointed for them to sacrifice for His sake. This is part of worshipping Allah, and it has always been a fundamental part of worshipping Allah, no matter what time frame, no matter what civilization it was. That's something Allah had always ordered. So we're part of that legacy. So that's the first thing that's mentioned in this ayah. Then Allah says, he points to the fact that people used to worship their gods and they used to sacrifice for their gods. That's true. Quraysh used to do it as well. They used to sacrifice for their idols, and they used to have places where they would sacrifice for particular idols. But the only one you're meant to sacrifice for, فَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ, your Lord is only one Lord. The one you're meant to turn to with all of these acts of devotion is only Allah, no one else. So again, the fundamental of loving Allah more than you love everything else, and He's the one all acts of worship go back to, comes over and over again. The statement, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and that's that statement. That's the statement, then you after it, Labbaik La Sharika Lak, yani you are the one we're devoting to with no partner. The fundamental upon which the rest of the religion is based upon, it keeps coming over and over again. Then Allah says, فَلَهُ أَسْلِمُوا, to Him submit yourself. Yani that in itself, Islam is submitting yourself, your desires, your heart, your body, your wealth, everything you have to Allah. You know, as Allah says in the end of Surah Al-An'am, yani the link is so profound. You see, this is about sacrificing animals. That surah is about the cattle that you sacrifice. The end of the surah, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, alone, without any partner. With that I've been ordered, and I'm from the foremost of the Muslims. So this is how Allah is telling us, subjugate yourself to Allah. You're His slave.
So in our life as Muslims, there is a lot of, if not all of it, is sacrifice.
100%.
We're sacrificing our wealth. We're sacrificing the life Allah has given. And I jumped the gun a little bit here, because what I wanted to say at the end is, to be honest, if you really, really look at it, you're not actually sacrificing what is actually yours, because it's not yours in the first place. But it's this mentality that Allah wants us to have, that I think comes down to misery, right? When you're when you're trying to hoard something that isn't actually yours. So all of these steps is again benefiting for us. And then there's different ways that we sacrifice. We sacrifice our time. Maybe some people might see sacrifice their time in praying, or that we sacrifice our wealth. And in this, going to Hajj is the ultimate sacrifice, because you're sacrificing your time, money, health, wealth,
loved ones, luxuries, the whole lot
to go and do this.
The journey of a lifetime, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the fundamental that's being taught to you about Islam and your life, there is no Islam without sacrifice. That message is yani constantly being told to you, and when you go on Hajj, you feel it. Right, Islam is sacrificing what I want for what Allah wants. Yani, you get dusty and dirty, and you're still wearing that ihram that gets dirty, and you don't look clean anymore, and it's white, so it gets dirty more, and you have to continue like that for those days of Hajj, because you're in ihram. You don't like to be like that, but you're going to do it. You don't like the toilets of Mina, but you're going to do it, because Allah wants you to be there. You don't like to have to sleep rough in Muzdalifah, but you're going to do it. You don't like to keep moving from place to place, but you're going to do it, because Allah loves it. So it's all about sacrificing what you love for what Allah loves, because that is more beloved to you, because Allah is more deserving and Allah is more beloved to you than anything else.
And this is the true lesson here, when you're sacrificing for the oneness of Allah.
And then when you look how the ayah ends, perfect ending for what we've been saying, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ. And those who submit themselves like this, give them the glad tidings. Glad tidings of what? The mind goes to everything you can imagine, that's for you. And beyond what you can imagine. Okay? أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The first thing that Allah mentions, they are the ones, and this is the first sign how you weigh yourself up. Do I fit that category? Do I fall into it or not? When Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble out of awe of Him, which combines the love and fear at the same time.
So in a previous episode, we mentioned about measuring.
Yeah.
So this is a measuring.
These are the measurements.
Tool.
Four things which you weigh yourself up with. Do I fall into this category or not?
Right,
the first
okay.
of them, when Allah is mentioned, are you in awe? And because of that awe, you have the pinnacle of love and the pinnacle of fear, and you're between love and hope. Is that what happens to you when Allah is mentioned? That's number one. Then Allah says, after that love and fear, وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ, they're patient with whatever calamities and trials and difficulties and challenges happen to them. They know if they are patient, Allah's going to reward them. And they try to be pleased with it because it's Allah's choice for them. Then Allah says, they're always praying to Allah. They're always establishing the prayer. And then the final measurement that Allah gives, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend from what we have given them. They sacrifice what we have given them to please Allah. These are the four measuring items, or four items to measure your own iman with. Do I get into that state of fear, love, hope, fear, because I'm in awe of Allah when He's mentioned? Do I have that patience, or do I shout and scream when problems happen? Do I think about Allah and restrain myself? Do I always establish the prayer, doing it to the best of my ability? Do I always sacrifice constantly and consistently for the sake of Allah?
And these four elements is found in Hajj, right?
Yeah, these four elements
is the
fundamental,
it's fundamental of Hajj as well. Yeah, to the deen. But when we said the reason why people go to Hajj is for the sake of Allah.
Yeah.
So,
and you have to give away a lot of money.
And you have to give a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you have to establish your prayer.
Yep.
And was the fourth one? There was one I missed there.
There was the sacrifice. There was the first, how you are when you mention Allah.
Yeah.
And then the patience.
Okay, you need bags of patience.
Exactly.
When you
that's
go
the
to
first
Hajj.
Thing you're told, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. You're gonna have to wait around a lot.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to go into the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's when things get difficult. If you lose it, you lost your Hajj.
Subhanallah.
So, these four things, if you look at them, it's the connection with Allah and the connection with the people. The first three are all about your connection with Allah. And the last one is your behavior with the creation. That is Islam.
We're going to stop right here, inshallah, because we're going to go for a short break. Brothers and sisters, please join us straight after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to the second part of this episode. Sheikh, we took the four contents to measure one's iman, alhamdulillah, in the first part of this episode, inshallah. So we're going to continue with our journey, inshallah.
Yep, definitely. So these four characteristics, we need to adorn ourselves with them and make sure that we act upon them whenever we are able. Because some people won't be able to sacrifice money because they don't have much money. Or any money even, yeah? But when you have that opportunity to be patient, to be in awe, to establish the prayer, you have to be doing it whenever you have the opportunity. Okay, that's the fundamental that we talked about. And then we talked about how these characteristics summarize the whole of Islam. Your relationship with Allah, which is mentioned in the three first things, which is being in awe of Allah, the love and hope for in Allah, when Allah's name is mentioned, when His verses are mentioned, that we mentioned being patient with whatever Allah throws in your path, the qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah. Then establishing the prayer, your relationship with Allah. Three things about your relationship with Allah, and then one thing in dealing with the creation. That you spend, you help the needy, you give and sacrifice for the sake of Allah. So when you're dealing with the creation, really, it's not about dealing with the individuals in front of you. It's dealing with Allah through the people in front of you.
To be honest, if you think about these four contents that Allah has given, they could have been a little bit more difficult. There could have been something else that was chosen for us.
Yep.
But in essence, if you think about the first three things, there is no excuse for it, to be honest. Anyone can establish this.
Yeah,
it's very easy for us to establish. Especially
but that thing, for us, we say it so easily and comfortably because Allah has given us the tawfiq, the ability, and made it beloved to us. You find those people who are not practicing, if you like, or far away from the deen of Islam, or far away from a group of practicing friends, etc., they look at these things and mentally they just look at it as if it's a mountain.
So why is that? I mean, how can something so easy to establish be so difficult to accomplish?
Shaitan whispered to the person and made them think, what, you're going to do that? Oh, it's going to take up your whole life just to pray 5 times a day. You won't be able to do anything else. Yani, we've heard all of it. But hang on, it only takes 10 minutes maximum when you're going to pray. So 10 minutes, 5 times a day, means 50 minutes in your whole day. You spend longer than that on one conversation on WhatsApp or whatever it is. It doesn't make any sense. But shaitan
so
makes it more difficult.
So I think then it comes to, in my understanding, is how we value it.
Yeah. And it's also that conversation we have internally with ourselves. We create obstacles that have no reality. It's as if we're living in our head and we're talking ourselves out of doing those things. And that conversation really happens with those people who are not practicing, and they hear these thoughts in their heads. Why are you going to do that? It's going to be so difficult.
There's no, and again, it kind of reestablishes in my mind that you don't see the value in it.
Yeah, you don't. And if you valued it, you'd give up other things for it.
Yeah.
So with that, let's move on to the next two ayahs, 36 and 37.
وَالْبُدْنَ جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ فَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا صَوَافَّ فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرُ كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرْنَاهَا لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ كَذَلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
And the camels and cattle we have appointed for you as among the symbols of Allah. For you therein is good. So mention the name of Allah upon them when lined up for sacrifice. And when they are lifeless on their sides, then eat from them and feed the needy and the beggar. Thus have we subjected them to you that you may be grateful. Their meat will not reach Allah, nor will their blood. But what reaches him is piety from you. Thus have we subjected them to you that you may glorify Allah for that to which he has guided you and give good tidings to the doers of good.
So in these verses, Allah talks about the sacrificial animals. Okay, what do people sacrifice when they go to Hajj?
I know it's not a chicken.
Yeah, chicken's not allowed.
So I think there is a limit, a boundary set, right?
So what is it?
So camel.
Camel.
Sheep.
Yeah.
I don't think there's cow in that region.
Cow, yeah.
Cow would be acceptable, cow, right? Yeah. And that's about it. Those
goat.
Goat, yeah, yeah, okay. So
why did you start with camel?
I think that's the highest.
MashaAllah, mashaAllah. Yeah? In accordance with the verse.
Yeah.
So the verse is talking about the sacrificial animal, but Allah says, وَالْبُدْنَ. Yeah, so two opinions of the scholars. First opinion is that this is the camel itself. The others say because the category fits camel and the cow. Yeah, so the sacrificial animal, the bigger the animal, the better it is. Okay, so the cow is the most beneficial. The camel is the most beneficial animal to sacrifice. So Allah mentioned that because He's pushing you forward to get the most
sacrifice out.
Yeah, the most out of whatever rite you're trying to do in the Hajj. He wants you to get the most reward. So he says, this we have made from the symbols of Allah. The sacrificial animal, and specifically the camel, is from the symbols of Allah. So you have to treat it in that way. This is any special because it's being given for the sake of Allah.
And if you think about the camel, there's so many benefits to a camel, right? You can travel on it, you can take from its milk, and then you can eat from it.
Yeah, and even there's so many. If you were to count them, yani, we'd have to do a research paper. And you can go into it and let the viewers do their homework and review. There's so many benefits in the camel itself. Okay, so the creation of the camel. So Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ghashiyah to look at the camel, okay, and take yani, reflections and lessons from the creation of the camel and what it's used for. So that's homework, guys. You can do that later on.
Of course.
But here, specifically, Allah wants you to get the maximum out of it. So He mentions the camel as a sacrificial animal. Then, after that, He says, فَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا. Yani, remember Allah's name on it. Yani, and this, He mentions the way you're going to sacrifice. The camel, and these big animals, camels and cows, they're sacrificed while they're standing. So Ibn Umar, he walks past someone who's got the camel down and he's going to slaughter it while it's down. And he says, slaughter this while it's standing. Slaughter the camel while it's standing, because this is the sunnah of your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the way Allah describes it here. And then Allah says, when the camels are sacrificed, when they hit the ground, meaning they're sacrificed, then eat from it and then feed the poor, feed two other categories, whether they ask you or they don't ask you. Some of the scholars say, you know, this is why you should give a portion of your sacrifice to your friends and family, and part of it should go to the poor, and part of it you should eat. So there's three portions of it that should be given out. But it doesn't have to be equal portions. Then Allah says how He has made this huge creature, the camel, with all its power, might, subservient to us, so that a child can hold its reins and make it do whatever he wants it to do. And yani, we have so many benefits in that. It's only because Allah has given us power over it. Not because we trained it and we're so great.
Allah made it that way.
He gave us its its subjugation. He subjugated it for us. And without that, it would never obey us. And then Allah tells us, remember what I did for you, that particular thing made these things easy for you to use. Otherwise, they could come and kill you like any other beast could do to you of that size. Then Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Look at the bounty of Allah on you and then be thankful. It's another fundamental of our Islam. Gratitude. Without gratitude, you cannot be a good Muslim. You cannot be even a Muslim. You have to have gratitude. And in fact, Shaytan describes gratitude as that which is going to save the people from him, his plots, and the hellfire.
Because they're thankful for what they've been given.
And those people he's going to pull astray are the ones who neglect Allah, his bounties, don't think about it, and they're ungrateful. Then Allah actually says, to finish this kind of issue off about the sacrifice, it's not the meat and the blood that reaches Allah. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's not even to do with the meat you're going to give to charity. It's actually the taqwa in your hearts that reaches Allah. Yani, why do you sacrifice this animal? It's not so you can feed the poor. It's because you're bowing down to Allah, giving away your wealth to Allah. That piety of your hearts, that submission and glorification of Allah, that's what goes to Him.
So taqwa here means being conscious of what you're doing.
More than that, yani, magnifying, venerating Allah, declaring His greatness. So whatever He tells me, I'm going to do it.
In this action.
Yeah, and remember, it's meant to be very valuable. The more valuable, the greater your taqwa.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, make it plump, make it very expensive, do as much as you can. And then Allah actually mentions after that, Allah made all of these things subservient to you. The whole of the creation is at your service. Why? لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ. That you say takbir. And if you think, when are you meant to be making this takbir? The days of Mina after the sacrifice are the days to make takbir a lot and eat and drink.
Celebrate.
Celebrate. You're mentioning the bounties of Allah and you're saying how great Allah is. He's the greatest majesty. There's nothing greater than Him. Then Allah says, finishing it all, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who, because they appreciate and are grateful for what they've been given, they do the same to others. They're the muhsins who do things for others and go beyond and don't expect things back.
SubhanAllah. I mean, this is a complete journey in the Hajj of sacrifice, having this taqwa, and what an amazing way to end by giving this sacrifice to your fellow man. Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. I mean, brothers and sisters, this has been an amazing journey so far. Inshallah, please do join us in the next episode. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.